Sure is good to see everybody here this morning. As I look out in the audience, I see we've got a whole lot of visitors. And I know that many of you are home for the holidays, visiting your family and being with loved one. What a wonderful blessing it is to be able to be together with your family. And it is a wonderful blessing to have you here with us today. We hope you feel welcome. And whenever you're back in the Lindell area again, we hope that you come back and worship God together with us again. As I look out in the audience, my heart is thrilled to see Sister Bennett here. Please remember the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you do not know, many of you that are visiting, our Sister Bennett had pancreatic cancer, and we have been praying fervently for her for several weeks. The surgery was successful. They got all the cancer, and she does not even have to have chemotherapy, and she's here and she's doing well. And we need to be careful and be sure that we thank the Lord for answering our prayers for her health. I want to thank Todd for leading us in the songs that he led us in. If you were conscious of the songs, you will notice there was a common denominator between all of the songs. And they were dealing with God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Or, Lord, I believe. Or if you go back to number 5, you just get your song book and turn to number 5. It's a song all of us are very familiar with, How Great Thou Art. I just want to read the first stanza to you. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. All the songs we've been singing this morning are dealing with how we can look at the creation and from the creation deduce our God. He is great. Our sermon this morning is going to be built around this particular concept of listening to the teachings about the Creator from the creation. You'll find in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 where it says, For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. For someone into the world to say, there's not enough evidence for me to believe in God, they have their eyes closed, they have their ears closed, they are without excuse. The text here talks about his invisible attributes. They are clearly seen. All you have to do is open your eyes and look, and you will see the attributes of God. They are understood just by what has been made from the creation itself. It tells us about his eternal power, and you need to realize, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't see it. Not only that, Psalms tells us in Psalms 19, 1 through 4, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day utters speech, and night into night reveals knowledge. Now here we're talking about the heavens and how they declare the glory of God, but I want you to notice it's talking about they're talking to us. They're uttering speech, day into day, night into night. And the very next verse says about that, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now we're talking about hearing. From Romans, we're talking about his invisible attributes are clearly seen. And now we're talking about hearing the creation. And that there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Unfortunately, there are people who do not see and do not hear. They do not see the fact that God exists from what has been made. And they do not hear the lessons about the Creator from the creation. What we're going to be doing in the sermon this morning, we're going to be trying to see and hear from what has been made, from the creation. We human beings have a fault that we fall into at times. And that is we take the creation for granted. How many of you, when you got up this morning, when you drove by the trees, went, wow, trees. Wow, sun. Look at his clouds. Look at that bird flying. Wow. How many of you, when you walk by trees, you just pay no attention to it? When the stars are up in the heaven, you pay very little attention to it. You may look up and give it a glance. When the birds are flying around you, you pay very little attention to it. Pay very little attention to yourself. We pay very little attention to the creation. Because as long as I can remember, it's always been here. It's always been trees and clouds and birds and people and me. And we walk by it and we see it every day. And because we take it for granted so much, we sometimes do not hear it and do not see it and lose focus of what it is trying to tell us about God. What I would like to do in the sermon this morning is slow down and look at it again. And focus on it intently and see it. And try to hear it and fine-tune our ears to hear what the creation is trying to tell us about God. Over in Isaiah 40, 25-28. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. In the text here, we're talking about looking up at the sky. Looking up at the stars, looking up at the constellations, seeing the sunrise and the sunset, seeing the moon coming in its ordinances. How many times have you seen them? What kind of being is it that has created this universe? Just think about it. I have a photograph here for you of the galaxy that we're in, the Milky Way. And do you realize that in the Milky Way there are billions and billions of stars? We are in a solar system with our sun being a star, and we have these planets around it. And then there are billions and billions of other stars in this galaxy that we're in. And the amazing thing is there's billions and billions of galaxies with billions and billions of stars in them. Now just stop and think about this for a moment. What kind of being is it that has the power to create all this? Let's go back to that verse one more time. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Every single star he is conscious of. He calls them by name. He created them. He created the entire universe with his power. One of the things we hear from the creation is God is powerful. Far more powerful than you and I could possibly ever imagine. Isaiah continuing says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord of Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." His understanding, his power, unsearchable. I don't care how much you meditate on it, you really don't understand how powerful he is. We can just get a general idea when we sit down and look at what has been made and see it and just think about it again, what kind of being are we talking about here? That all he has to do is speak and say, let there be light, and there is light. To speak the creation into existence with just a word. And yet that is exactly what he did. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, "Ah, Lord, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." All things are possible with God. Nothing's too hard for him. He is the creator. What I would like you to do is when you go out this evening, look at the stars and slow down. Just slow down. I know you've got some gifts to open. I know you've got some food to eat and some family to visit. But slow down and look at the stars and listen to them. Watch the sun set and listen to it. Watch the sun rise if you have time and listen to it. Slow down and look at the creation. Fine-tune your ears to hear the speech that it is trying to tell you about the power of God, the majesty of God, the glory of God, and now the wisdom of God. Psalm says in Psalms 104 and verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. For a period of time, I would just like to talk about the wisdom, the understanding of God. Now, we human beings, we have these knacks to try to make things. I don't mind telling you, I'm very impressed with engineers. Whenever I sit and look at a television, I'll be quite honest with you, I think, wow, you know, the people that made this had to be pretty sharp guys and girls, pretty intelligent people. And whenever I look at a VCR or just even a remote control, some pretty intelligent people had to put this together. Now, I ask you, which is more complex? This remote control, a television, or the universe and the world and you? From looking at what has been made, we can deduce and come to understand our God has to have wisdom and understanding and intellect that we cannot understand, that is unsearchable. What kind of being, again, what kind of understanding is required to create life? Let's look at the creation again for a moment. Proverbs 3, verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. Again, whenever we're getting down to the earth and the heavens and the universe, it is by his wisdom, by his understanding. He knows how it works. Everything in it. He knows how the constellations work. He knows how the stars work. He knows how our planet rotates on its axis. He knows how the sun rises and the sun sets. He knows how life works. He knows all the details of everything. All the minute details of everything. It's by his wisdom and by his understanding they exist. Again, Job says in Job 38, beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 12, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? What's the answer? I wasn't there. He did it. Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined the measurements? Who did? Who determines the tilt of the earth, the size of the earth, where the earth's going to be, the shape of the earth, our solar system, every detail about it? God does. Surely you know. Who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? The text we're dealing with here is describing the parallel of those of you who have built anything, any architect. You understand, you put the line on there, you make sure everything's straight, and you put a lot of design, a lot of work into it. Who's the one that popped the line for our solar system and put the cornerstone for the universe? It's God. He built it all. Every house was built by some man, but he who built all things is God. Continuing in Job. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud waves must stop. I got a question for you. How many of you enjoy going to the shore? How many of you enjoy going down to the ocean and just watching the waves come in? Do you realize that the water has a boundary set upon it? Here your proud waves must stop. It is God who created the earth, the dry earth on which we live. It is God who created the seas. And it is God who sets the limits on how far the sea is allowed to come. Please realize every wave that crashes into the seashore is telling you about the power of God. Does it make you wonder sometime why you enjoy going to see nature? How many of you, when you go on vacations, you want to go where there's water, or want to go see the mountains, or want to go see the forest, and you want to see the creation? You want to be around the creation. You want to soak in the creation. Your soul is wanting to hear again about the glory of God, to focus in on it. Let me ask you, how many of you go to zoos? You know why you go to zoos? Because you want to wow again. You want to see something you hadn't seen before. You want to go and say, oh, come over here, look at this peacock. Wow, isn't it beautiful? Oh, come over here, look at this rhinoceros. Wow, isn't it beautiful? I remember one time we were at the Little Rock Zoo. And at the Little Rock Zoo, which wasn't too impressive, they had a big, big cage. And then there was a black cat. And I remember walking around, I said, what's this? They got a cat in here. What's the big deal? And, you know, I went over there and it said this cat came from the jungles of South America. And I thought, well, somebody's cat got out. But let me ask you, why didn't I go around and look at that cat and go, wow, look at the cat? I've seen cats before. The reason we go to zoos is because we want to wow again. We are taking the creation for granted, the things we've seen so many times. We want to see something new. If you live in the city, you want to go out to the creation. You want to see the sunrise, the sunset. You want to see the stars. You want to see the trees and the waves. You want to wow again. What I would like to encourage all of us to do is not take the things you see every day for granted. When you see life around you, just sit down and go, wow, it is a cat. It is a dog. It is a bird. How's it flying? How's it up there? Get your wow back. Open your eyes and open your ears to the creation that is here. Job says in Job 38, 4 through 12, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Sunrises, sunsets. Have you commanded the morning? How many of you have the power to say, okay, sun, come on up? No. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord made this day. The sun rose this day because of his power. The sun is where it is right now and exists because of his power. This day exists because of his power. There is nothing, nothing that does not exist without his power. He created it all. He is the one that commands the sunrise and the sunset. Please realize, when you're looking at that sunset and you're going, isn't that beautiful? Yeah. It's talking to you. When you see the sunrise and you see the beauty of it, let it soak in. Open your eyes, open your ears. Job began in 38, 32 through 33. Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Here he's talking about the constellations. If you go out and you look at the constellations in the sky and you know they're in order, you can know where they're going to be at what time of the year. You can even use them to guide yourself if you know how to use them. Are you any individual that anyone you know has that power to control the solar system and the ordinances out there, the constellations? Again, do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Do you know how to make a sun? That's a picture of our sun, which is another star in the Milky Way. And as I said, the sun rises and the sun sets, and the sun gives us warmth. And without the sun, we would not be able to stay alive. Please realize, it is God who does know the ordinances of the heaven. He knows how it all works. And it is working by His power, His wisdom, His understanding. Psalms 147, verse 4 through 5. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. That verse summarizes all I've been trying to nail down for you. He numbers all the stars. Now again, as I told you, there's billions and billions of stars in this galaxy that we're in, the Milky Way. And then there's billions and billions of galaxies with billions and billions of stars. He knows every single one of them and calls each one by name. Don't think that you're lost in the crowd because there's billions and billions of people. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. How many of you know that? Maybe one or two of you. Most of you don't. Most of you don't know. He does. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. He knows the stars and calls each one of them by name. And again, it is by His mighty power, by His understanding that is infinite. His power, His understanding are unsearchable. Job 39:26-29 says, "Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south?" Yesterday as we were driving back, or it wasn't yesterday, it was Friday as we were driving back from Mississippi, we were watching the hawks. They were all around us. How does a hawk fly? Again, you see birds flying all the time. How much wisdom is required to create something that can fly? How much design do you think there is in a hawk, in its wings, in its feathers, in its lungs that are breathing nonstop, taking air in and out at the same time? The design to fly. How many of you saw a bird this morning? How many of you are going to see birds today? Slow down and look at it. And go ahead and think about it and let your wow come back, even though it's a sparrow. It's flying. How's it doing that? Somebody designed it. Somebody makes it possible for it to be able to do what it's doing. Again, in Job, "Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high, and on the rocks and dwells and resides on the crags of the rock and the stronghold? From there it spies out the prey, its eyes observe from afar." How does an eagle know how to build its nest and where to build its nest? How does an eagle have eyes that are able to see when it's way up there and high? And it can see little things running down on the ground. The hawk can do the same thing. How can they see it far away? Do you know what instinct is? Instinct is information that is in the mind of a living organism at birth. Birds know how to build nests by instinct. Birds know how to migrate by instinct. Butterflies migrate by instinct. Termites build their home by instinct. There's numerous things that living creatures we have by instinct. Where did it come from? You know, I imagine most of you have computers. I have a computer up here. Somebody programmed this computer. How many of you would believe that this information that you see coming up on the overhead up here, it all got in there by chance? Anybody believe that? Well, they didn't. I spent all week with the help of my son putting it in there. You may not think me intellect, but some intelligent being was behind that. Somebody thought this out. Somebody worked on that. You see, where there is a program, there is a programmer behind it. Who programmed the eagle to know how to build its nest and where to build its nest? who programmed the birds how to migrate. Where does instinct come from? The programmer is God. Does the eagle make its nest at your command? The answer to that is no. No. The birds don't migrate by your command. All instinct comes from God. Now I would like to spend part of the time talking about ourselves. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Fearfully, wonderfully made. Again, we take our own existence for granted. When was the last time you stopped and just looked at yourself and said, wow, look at this. Oh, how am I able to do what I'm doing? Acts 17:28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. You see, it is through God we live, we move, we have our very being. Now listen, folks, I'm alive, and I don't even know how I'm doing it. I don't know what life is, but I'm experiencing it. You're alive. Let it sink in. The eagle that we were looking at, it's alive. The hawk's alive. Where does life come from? Again, what kind of being is it that is required? What kind of intellect? What kind of power to create life? Job 10 verse 11 says, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. Isn't it wonderful, folks? You take my bones out, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to flop down like Jell-O here. And yet it all works together. If you take a class in anatomy, physiology and anatomy, they'll teach you about all the bones and all the muscles. But let me ask you, even though we can name them, how do they do what they do? How does my hand work? Let me show you something real neat. Open, close. How can I do that? How can I do that? Proverbs 20 verse 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. There's a big picture of an eye. The Lord has made the seeing eye. And the Lord has made the hearing ear. As I look out in the audience, I see a lot of red this morning. Some green. I'm able to see your colors. I'm able to see your faces. I can look back there. And when I look back, my eye is focusing. And you know, an amazing thing, I don't have to say, focus. Focus in, focus out. You hear me right now, don't you? Your ears are working. Your eye is designed. Your ears are designed. Everything about you is designed. And yet we give it no thought. We don't think about our eyes. We don't think about our ears. We don't think about our hands. We don't think about our life. We don't even think about ourselves sometimes. As I said, as long as you can remember, you've been here, right? Slow down and look at yourself. Get the wow back in at life and your own existence. Job says in Job 38:36, who has put wisdom in the mind and who has given understanding to the heart? Let me ask you this question. How come you understand what I'm saying? How come you understand what I'm saying right now? Because you have a mind. Who put the wisdom in the mind? The human brain. Again, we can name the different parts of the brain and even tell you the different parts of the brain that are connected to different parts of the functions of the body. But how we do what we do, they ain't got a clue. They do not know how we think. They do not know how we understand. Who has made it possible for us to understand? It's God. It's God. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. There's another thing we learn and deduce about God, and that is his glory. In Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It's still very good. It's still very beautiful. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity into their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God has done or God does from the beginning to the end. He has made everything beautiful in its time.
We human beings have an amazing potential.
We understand beauty.
If you plant flowers in your backyard and you have a dog back there, I promise you, the dog is not going, "Ooh, that's pretty."
He's just going to dig it up. The dog doesn't care how pretty your roses are, he's still going to dig them up.
Human beings have this ability within us to look at something and go, "Wow, look at that. Isn't that beautiful?"
I remember when I gave my children their first flower gardens in Arkansas many years ago. And in that flower garden, I gave them lilies. And I gave my son a lily, and the very first time his lily bloomed, he came in the house and he said, Dad, you got to come look at this. And so I came in, I came out, and there it was, and it was a beautiful day lily. And I looked at him, and he was about 3 or 4 years old at the time, and I said, "Wayne, what does this tell you about God?" And with the beauty and the wisdom of a little child, he said, "God must be beautiful." The firmament declares, as the text says here, his glory. When God created it, it was very good. He's made everything beautiful in its own time. Yes, I believe the creation tells us God has to be marvelous and beautiful. That all being said, Revelation says in Revelation 4 and 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. For someone to say there's not enough evidence to believe in the existence of God, they are without excuse. They have their eyes closed and their ears closed. They refuse to see and they refuse to hear. The whole point of the sermon this morning is to get us to slow down, to open our eyes, to open our ears, to see and to hear the creation and what it is trying to tell us about our Creator, about His power, about His wisdom and His understanding, about His majesty and His beauty. Fine-tune your ears to hear it again. Open your eyes to see it again. And once you recognize that this is the way God is, He is then worthy of praise, honor, and glory. He is worthy of you worshiping Him. He is the Creator, and we are the creation. In a few moments, we're going to be singing a song that you're probably very familiar with, "Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah." I asked Todd to lead us in this song. It's rather a different kind of song for an invitation song, but I believe it fits very well with the lesson. And I want you to realize the song "Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah" is actually taken right out of Psalms 148. Because the whole point of Psalms 148 is dealing with praising God, and the entire creation is doing it. So I'm just going to read through the text, and what I want you to see here is how the whole creation is crying out about the glory and the majesty and the power and the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted, and His glory is above the earth and heaven. I do believe the creation will speak to us if we will just listen. I believe His eternal power and His Godhead are clearly seen by what has been made if we will just look. Slow down. Look at the creation.
Look at the sun rises and the sun sets. Look at the plants. Look at the animals. Look at the birds. Look at yourself. And get your wow back. And open your ears and fine-tune your ears to hear what it is trying to tell you about our Creator, about His power, about His wisdom and His understanding, about His majesty, His glory, and His beauty. Now, this is actually the first sermon in a two-part series. Next week, we're going to come back and we're going to be talking about lessons about the Creator from the Revelation. You see, you can deduce that God is powerful and that He is wise and great understanding and majestic and beautiful from the creation. But you cannot deduce that God is holy from a rose. You cannot deduce that there is one God from a rose. You cannot deduce that God loves you from a rose. To fully understand God takes revelation. And that's going to be the point of our sermon next week. Lessons about the Creator from the Revelation. There may be somebody here this morning, though, who is not a member of the body of Christ. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ. If you're a child of God already and you've lost your faith in the Lord and gone away into a far country, we would like to encourage you to come home, to come back to the Father. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the psalm which has been selected.